Donna, for that beautiful interlude. Thank you. I guess that has to do something with the house built on the sand that tumbled down. We are focusing on building, and that was very appropriate. I asked for a message from God, and He gave me so much that I was not able to fit it into one service. So this morning and next Sabbath, we'll be focusing on building or constructive building. Last time when I shared with you some pictures of upside-down houses, you were fascinated by that, and I figured out that you like architecture. So this morning, I would like to share some more with you. This is Wexner Center for Arts in Ohio. There was opened or designed for the exploration and advancement of contemporary art, a place where established and emerging artists can test ideas and where diverse audiences can participate in cultural experiences that enhance understanding of the art of our time. It is a $43 million project. It was opened in November 1989 and typically drew about 250,000 visitors a year. That metal white grid here, you can see it also, represents scaffolding, and it's there on purpose to give the building a sense of incompleteness. If you have noticed, there are pillars that support nothing, and the walls that are not attached to anything serve no purpose. And usually some of this type of buildings are of questionable functionality, but they're admitted of architectural interest. Here's another view of it. There are stairs that go nowhere, pillars that support nothing, the walls that are not attached to anything. Here's another view. And this art is called deconstructivism. It's a postmodern architecture that began in the late 1980s. It's characterized by fragmentation, an interest in manipulating a structure's surface or skin into shapes that appear to distort and dislocate elements of architecture. And sometimes they call it controlled chaos. Here's some more of it. They're not alone. Look at this, how it really shows the controlled chaos there. But it's actually a building that's supposed to serve a certain purpose. It's a Steinhaus in Austria. Here's another one in Spain, the Guggenheim Museum. Here's the gymnasium building in Czech Republic, and look at that falling wall, falling down wall. It's actually a part of the design just to give that impression. But that's the architecture, modern architecture, that was there on purpose. Here's another one in Dresden, Germany. Beautiful glass building. Looks like it's falling, but notice inside, everything is in order. Here's the Hotel Portofiro in Barcelona, Spain. Interesting. And here's close to home, the Walt Disney Concert Hall in Los Angeles. Some of you probably been there. What's so interesting that inside those buildings, no matter how they're distorted from outside, the inside is pretty orderly and beautiful. Here's another view of the inside of the Wexner Center for Arts. And look at these beautiful decorations that they made for one of the exhibitions that they held there inside using the colored tapes. And here's another view. So to me, it has a double application. From one side, it represents some of our lives that are deconstructed, out of order, in such a mess. At the same time, there is a possibility to build or have an inner beauty inside of us. There are many passages in the scripture that talk about building. Proverbs 9:1 suggests that there is wisdom in building. Wisdom has built her house, it says. She has hewn out its seven pillars. We look at the Abraham's life in Genesis, and certainly someone of Abraham's size or scale would not have any problems building houses or even cities. However, it says that Abraham was not in that type of business. And Paul gives us a reason why Abraham was not occupied with building houses. In Hebrews 11:10, he says, "For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God." C.S. Lewis said, If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. Like Abraham, we are not made for this world alone. We look forward to the city whose builder and maker is God. I'm not a builder. But every one of us is building something. We're building our careers. We're building our families. We're building our lives, our businesses. We build our children's lives. And some, just like us here in the Ukaipa Church, are building their ministries. Paul, in this verse, refers to God as a builder. He is our best designer. Genesis tells us about creation. When we go to the beginning of the book, and we read that God created or built heavens and earth. He made the air to breathe, light, separated light, day from night. He created dry land that produced vegetation, plants, trees, all kinds of creatures and animals. And after all this, he created human beings, Adam and Eve, as a crown of his creation. I suspect that God had Adam and Eve in his mind from the very beginning. But he wouldn't just place newly created people in unknown, unsuitable for them environment. So he did the preparation work. And when he was done building, it says it was very good. It is good to know. It's important for us to know. Because when we commit or dedicate and give our lives to Jesus, when we make that decision, he's going to follow the proper process of building. And he will build our lives on on proper foundations, on the strong foundations, on the solid ground that will last and will be very good. In the New Testament, we find Jesus making a statement, I will build my church. And when we know that, we can be sure that if he's building his church, it is not going to fail. It is a constructive building process in stages, but under a perfect plan of God. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Constructive building requires a peaceful process. David had his life dream to build the temple of God. Now Solomon takes over the kingdom, and he says in 1 Kings 5:3 to 5, as you know, my father David had to fight many battles. His enemies attacked him from every side, so he couldn't build a temple where the Lord his God would put his name. That wouldn't be possible until the Lord had put his enemies under his control. But now, he says, the Lord my God has given me peace and rest on every side. We don't have any enemies, and we don't have any other major problems either. So I am planning to build a temple. I want to build it for the name of the Lord my God. That's what he told me, my father David. He wanted me to do. He said, I will put your son on the throne in your place. He will build a temple, and I will put my name there. Don't you wish to be at the stage of your life where you have no enemies and everything is well? Notice the progression here. God has given me peace on every side. We have no enemies. We have no other problems or major problems. And now I am planning to build. It's not like I'm ready to build, but my family is in mess, my finances is a mess, I have problems up to here, I hate everybody, everybody hates me, but I'm going to build. I'm going to build. I don't see any wisdom here. We want a family, but we don't want to make a commitment. We want to run a business, but we don't want to share the cost. We want the benefit, but we don't want to contribute. We want success, but have no intention of being trained. We want strong relationships, but we are stubborn to cooperate. There is no peace in that kind of setting. Matthew 5:24 says, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother. Then come and offer your gift. In order to have a constructive building process, we need peace. We need peace in our families. We need peace in our societies, in our community, in our church. We need peace and harmony among the spouses. We don't need enemies. We don't need struggles. We don't need other major problems. If you're planning to build something, your family, or your business, or you're planning to build a community of faith, if you're planning to be a part of the building process, or whatever you're intending to build, before you start, make sure you have peace inside of you. Constructive building requires peace. Constructive building requires dedication and commitment. You probably heard this joke. Someone shared it recently with me. In our preaching, we call it illustrations. A hen and a pig joined the church ministry, and they went into discussion what to do to help the poor. So a hen had a suggestion. We'll feed them bacon and eggs. It didn't go well with the pig. He said, well, on your part, it will require just a contribution, but on my part, it's a total commitment. On a serious note, though, keeping a marriage together for many successful, happy years requires commitment. Graduating from your college with a degree requires commitment. Starting your own business and building it up to a successful business requires a commitment. Soldiers commit themselves to a certain type of service, dedicated and devoted to the well-being of their country. Farmers are devoted to harvesting the crop. There are no shortcuts in those areas. Athletes committed to the efforts of training and restrictions for many years from a very early age in order just to have an opportunity to compete in the Olympics. But all this time, they're building up their strength and skills so that they would be successful. That's dedication. The same is true in constructing our lives, especially in our spiritual condition. It means sometimes saying no to certain things. It means a single-minded devotion and commitment to the task. Constructive building requires commitment and devotion and dedication. Constructive building is an expensive process. Everything worth doing in life comes with a price. It comes with a cost. Luke 14, 28, 30, well, I thank you for reading it so well. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower, Jesus says. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and then is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. With building a new tower, this farmer would gain people's respect. His property would probably go up, or property value would go up. We witnessed even here in our community, in the Yucaipa community. I saw a lot of empty lots around the town that are gone already. A builder comes in town, and he sees this empty lot. He pays $50,000 for it, puts a decent size of a structure there, and the property value goes up to $500,000 or $700,000. We all feel cramped for space. We turned our garages into storages. Even in this church, we have a big problem. There is never enough storage space. And here, with this new tower, the farmer would finally have enough space to store more stuff. In life-threatening situations, the tower would serve as a means of refuge and security. And I have no questions, no doubts, that he established all the reasons for constructing this facility. But there was one problem, one thing that he overlooked. The cost. He failed to factor into his plans what material and labor would cost. And in the midway of his project, he ran out of money. And there is nothing more humiliating than having half-built towers sitting on your property. Because the farmer failed to count the cost, even the money that he had, that he invested in this half-built tower, that is of no use right now, he lost them. And now, this half tower stands as a monument of his foolishness, making him a subject of mockery. I haven't been there lately, but up in upper Yucaipa, north side of Yucaipa over there, there is a whole area, the whole street of beautiful, supposed to be houses. David probably knows about them. They started building them. Nice size of lots. The architecture was beautiful, was supposed to look like a nice, like nice houses. I'm pretty sure that those houses were going to sell at that time not less than $500,000 or more. But for such a long time, I noticed them sitting there, half finished. The roof tiles or shingles were piled up on the roof, not finished. The walls were still open, no windows and doors yet. And they were sitting there in such condition for a long time, deteriorating from snow, rain, and heat. There was a big loss. I'm pretty sure a successful contractor started building probably in 2008 and ran out of funds and just abandoned them. I don't think he even recuperated his own cost that he invested in that. But don't just condemn the unsuccessful Yucaipa builders or rush into making fun of the farmer who half built the tower. Don't we all like buying things that we don't really need or cannot afford, both men and women? We find something that we like and we don't take our minds and eyes off it until we convince ourselves that we don't just like this thing, we need that thing. We really need it. When you try to calculate the cost or calculate something, you don't do it on the run. You don't do your taxes sitting at the airport waiting for the plane. You don't do it in your car. You surround yourself with all the papers, all the receipts, and calculator, or maybe computer programs, and you count the cost. You count every penny, because one missing penny might cost you a lot. We are people of faith, and sometimes we say, well, I think God wants me to do this, or God wants me to do that, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Whatever idea you have, Bible teaches us to count the cost. If there is enough money, if we have enough resources to finish it, that part alone can save you a life. You know, we're not talking about buildings here. The builder of the tower is free to build or not. It is his choice if he wants to count the cost and then go for it. Following Jesus is our choice. But we must finish the journey. We must complete the journey or face incredible tragedy. There is nothing more tragic than unfinished life. A life that had a great foundation, but never was brought to completion. Many of us have started strong in the faith. Many were convicted by the message. They were attracted by the message. They were influenced by the good news and opened their hearts for God's Spirit to convert their lives, to bring them to completion. But then, somewhere along the way, we got distracted. And we neglected our spiritual life. We didn't use the opportunity that God gave us to build our lives on. We neglected our families, our careers, and put even our eternity in jeopardy. Because we left our matters in unfinished state. In sports, particularly in basketball, which I liked watching, you often hear the commentators saying about a great play, some expressions like, look at the finish. When a player makes a defensive steal and sprints all the way through the court to the basket and finishes it with a dunk that sets the whole court into excitement and a roar of thunder. And the commentators would say, he had finished the play. But there are other times when the player would make a good steal, runs all the way through the court to the opposite side, and the ball bounces off the back of the rim. And then you'll hear the commentators saying, great steal, but he never finished. Unfinished life projects can turn into a very expensive cost for all of us. So calculate the cost before you start building something. If you have enough resources, if you have enough strength, if you have enough vision, enough desire, enough commitment to complete it. And there might be something that you need to correct along the way. Don't postpone it for too long. Do it now, today. A great theologian, Karl Barth, said, though no one can go back and make a brand new start, anyone can start from now and make a brand new ending. Holy Father, we thank you for convicting us with your message about the state that our lives are in. And Lord, no matter how distorted and deconstructive they are from outside, you're offering us the inner order, the inner beauty, if we decide to follow you and allow you to help us to do the constructive building of our lives based on your instructions, on your master plan. We commit ourselves into your hands and allow your Holy Spirit to dwell in our hearts and guide us in this process. We realize that it might be an expensive process. It might be a difficult process, but it requires peace and dedication and commitment. And we come to you this morning and commit our lives to you. Lead us and guide us and bring us into harmony with our families, our spouses, our church, and our communities, and especially with you. Be with us as we go home and work on this assignment with your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.